Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Jesus has a lot to say about himself in the Gospel of John. Along with calling himself bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. These I am statements are known as the seven I am statements of Jesus. The bread one, I am the living bread, is the first one that we read in John. And we've been meditating on this idea, I am the living bread, I am the bread of life, right through the month of August. But where we are today, just at the end of chapter 6, it's almost anticlimactic. Here he's been saying this big, long speech, giving a whole kind of treatise on what it means when he says, I am the bread of life. But when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is too difficult. Who can accept it? And hearing Jesus' response to their questioning, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So remember, the thing is, we're at chapter 6, and there's still 15 more chapters to go. So we're still really at the beginning of the story that John's telling. The whole unfolding story of who Jesus is and all the things that he's going to say about himself, this is just the beginning. And yet already, we find the disciples at a crossroads. Many were drawn to Jesus, following him as they heard his words. And many saw him do amazing things. Some disciples, those 12, he's called personally. Others just couldn't help it. They had to see where this man would lead them. They've seen him clear out the temple. They've heard how he offered living water. They witnessed him heal a boy, and then a man who was waiting by a healing pool at the sheep gate. And most recently, perhaps most jaw-dropping of all, they saw him take 5 loaves of bread, barley bread, and 2 fish, and feed 5,000 people. They couldn't help it. They just had to follow him. They had to know more. They had to know who he was. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. What's so difficult about that? We have communion here together. We hear those words very often. What was it about those words that made people turn away? It does get a little gross. Jesus is kind of talking graphically here. He says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me. And that's not just eat. The actual word there is more like crunching or gnawing. Those who gnaw on my flesh. Ugh. If Jesus is speaking literally, as in cannibalism, yeah, I think I'd be out too. It's possible that some heard him speaking this way, but most would recognize the metaphor. So what else could be difficult? It's one thing to experience the miraculous provision of God. And even to hear the beautiful invitation to come and eat, to be hungry and find Jesus feeding not only one's body, but also one's soul. It's another thing to abide in Jesus, to trust in Jesus for the long haul. If you're familiar with the story of Moses, that might be helpful in understanding what Jesus is doing here. Moses, that great leader of Israel, the person who led the people out of slavery, the one who, when the people were hungry in the desert, wandering around, Moses called out to God and God provided manna, bread in the wilderness. One commentator makes a comparison this way. She says, the crowd was initially attracted to Jesus when they saw him as a Moses figure, one who could work miracles and provide political victories. But as they continue with him, as he begins to speak of himself as the manna, the bread from heaven itself, the ongoing provision of God, they learn that Jesus is not just offering an easy victory, but the long road of discipleship. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe. It's one thing to have a taste of the bread. It's another thing to recognize and come to know Jesus as the one who sustains and calls us, not just every once in a while, but all the time, again and again, to abide in him, and in abiding, to find life. There's so much about this Jesus stuff to like, isn't there? He really does do some amazing things. Lots of food is shared. People are being healed. There's walking on water, standing up to oppressive authorities, questioning religious leaders, engaging with the poor and the rich alike, pointing towards a world filled with hope and towards new ways of being. And it's no wonder that people are drawn to him. It's no wonder that images of him are so recognizable. It's no wonder that we go all out at Christmas to celebrate his birth. Sometimes I just can't help it. I have to follow. I need to know more about him. But the thing is, there's those other times when it gets a little rough along the way. I mean, Jesus is great and all. I love to draw from his teaching and learn from his ways. I even pray, give me today, give us today our daily bread. And there was a time that I would pray every single day. But am I really ready to live that way? Am I willing to eat of him and abide in him, as he says? Because to abide in Jesus means that I keep going back to that table. And you may not have noticed, but I'm a new mom. You can hear my daughter just out the door there. I don't have time to keep going back to the table. I can barely put together a meal, let alone time spent abiding at someone else's table. And the thing is, you know what? I'm pretty remarkable and capable, too. Despite not finding time to eat supper, I've gone through school, I've learned to problem solve, and there is a lot that I can figure out on my own. I'm not even sure that I need to abide, and it's often easier to do things alone. But even more so, there are times when this whole abiding in or looking for daily bread stuff seems a little futile. It's nice for some, it works for some, but it's kind of pie in the sky stuff. Because there are times when I know, and I'm a minister, so I'd better know, that I'm called to trust in God. I know that I'm called to abide in God's love and promises. But there's those times that the valleys just take over. How can I abide when I've been hurt so badly? How can I abide when I have messed up so badly it seems that the whole world is against me? How can I trust when no one will hear my side or stand up for me? How can I trust that there's so much, and when there's so much in the world that seems to destroy hope and peace? Jesus said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood remain in me and I in them. These are difficult words. Can't you just feed me and let me get on with life? Sometime later, Jesus came to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman before him who had been caught in what they saw as a sin meriting death. In making her stand before all of them, they condemned her before him and reminded him of Moses' commandment to stone such women. And I like this because Jesus is still sitting there and he just starts playing in the dirt. And then he stands up and he says, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And then once again, he bent down and started playing with the dirt again. When they heard it, they went away one by one, and Jesus was left alone with the woman. And Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." And again, Jesus spoke to those who had gathered around him, saying, "I am the light of the world." Those disciples who found Jesus' words too difficult, those who turned away, they missed out on hearing Jesus say these things. "I do not condemn you. Go your way. Sin no more. I am the light of the world." But notice that there was a crowd around him. And I like to think that some of those people who had turned away couldn't help but come back and listen to him again. Maybe they just couldn't help themselves. The words were too difficult, but also so full of life. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," that's just the beginning. They missed out on the invitation that he was giving to come and see what those words mean. And right in this place, at the temple, it seems to mean, "I am the one who will not condemn you. I am the one who sees you and has compassion. I am the one who sheds new light on old ways of being. I am the light of the world." And if they turn away again, they're going to miss him saying, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And in the unfolding of who this Jesus is, we find that he's fully engaged in this whole life thing. When he says, "Abide in me," he's already with us, waiting for us, calling us and guiding us, ready to lay down his life for our sake. Because it's not just life that he's calling us to. He's calling us to abundant life, to the fullness of life. And I think that's what I find most exciting about this passage, about these "I am" statements, especially when he says, "I am the bread of life." We find this invitation to eat this bread, and in eating, in chewing away, coming to discover who Jesus is more and more, and discovering more and more of what that life, that abundant life, looks like as we continue to journey with him. I wonder if this is what Peter and the other 12 began to understand when they heard Jesus say, "I am the living bread." Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." The disciples have come to a crossroad, and for some, Jesus' message about himself is just too difficult, and so they go their own way. But for these guys, for the 12, there's something about Jesus that they just can't turn away from. "You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. How can we leave? Where else could we go?" Another writer suggests that the 12 weren't really all that different from the disciples who turned away. The thing that made them stay is that in the midst of doubts and questions and more deeply sorrow and helplessness, they knew where to look for life. As they followed Jesus, they came to know him as the source of life. How could they go? To whom could they go? They've discovered the Holy One of God. Shepherd, light, bread, to whom else could we go? I've always been drawn by those words of the Good Shepherd. "I came that they might have life and have it to the full." Because I think when I first really heard it, I heard it while I was in a valley. And the words I heard were, "Whatever else you may think, or may hear from others about me know this. My will for you is life. And not just life, but full, abundant life. A life that's not defined or governed by pain or fear, or even by success and self-reliance, but life. Life in which you are known, you are beloved, you are helped and guided, and you are brought ever closer to me and to the beauty of the world around you. In abiding and eating this bread, we begin to discover that when we reach the end of our own rope, we are given bread to sustain us. And that when we reach the end of our own ability, the light is shining just as brightly. In the valleys, the Good Shepherd, the light, is there, meeting us in those places when all light seems to be gone, climbing down into the pit and comforting us on the way through, calling us out and lighting the way towards life. Sisters and brothers, the invitation at this crossroads is to abide, to remain in, to discover who else this one who calls himself bread may be. The one who feeds multitudes and eats with those on the outskirts, the healer, the one who stands up to oppression, who questions old ways of being, who engages with the poor and with the rich. All of this, but even more. He's the one who sees us, who knows us, who refuses to condemn us, but calls us and invites us again and again to life. And not only to life, but life to the full. Amen.